Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about how to structure offers for rentals specifically using creative financing. This is kind of a topic that Jeff thought might be really helpful for those who especially are in a market where it's really hard to find the 1% rule. I think that's kind of what we were talking about, Jeff.
Yes.
And so Jeff wanted to show us kind of some creative ways to make deals work in markets where the purchase price is just higher than other areas, right? Where yep. You can't really get that 1% rule. And you know, here in Utah, especially Salt Lake City, I think that's very true here.
Pretty much all of Utah, right? I mean,
all of Utah. We're definitely not. We're more of a cyclical market, I think, than linear, but. And we get high appreciation here, so it's good to hold property long-term for that. But as far as rentals, I mean, I don't really look for rentals here myself. So I'm looking, in other states. And I know you do the same, Jeff. So yeah, let's talk about that. How do we in these markets where the purchase prices are higher, how do we structure offers where we can make them work as rentals?
What I did is I was trying to come up with new ideas for topics, and I went on Bigger Pockets. If you're not familiar with Bigger Pockets, you should be. It's the largest online real estate forum in the country. And I think I Googled or searched for owner finance or creative finance and just wanted to see what some of the questions or posts were. And I came across one, and it said that I'm looking for rentals, but I can't find anything that approaches the 1% rule. And the 1% rule is basically a quick and easy way to try to identify something that might work as a rental. It's not foolproof. It's not the end all be all, but it's something that, hey, if I see something that rents for $2,000 a month and I can buy it for $200,000. That's the 1% rule. 1% of the purchase price equals 1 month worth of rent. That might be a good rental, right? And if I can find something that rents for $2,000 a month and I can buy for $175,000, I'm now exceeding that 1% rule. And obviously it just keeps getting better and better. And every once in a while, you're lucky enough to maybe find something that is around the 2% rule, which is typically a home run. In this case, he talked about, he comes across an example that where something will rent for $1,400 a month, but they're asking $200,000, not the 1% rule. And so what I thought would be interesting is to take this example and look at it in a number of different ways. And that's all the information that we have. So we'll look at it based on where there's no debt. We'll look on it when there is debt and how we can make it work in a number of different ways to still be a good rental if that's what we wanted. And okay. I think this will absolutely demonstrate the power of creative finance, because we'll work through this really quickly and we'll look at it conventionally. It's not a terrible deal, but it's probably not a deal that it's probably a deal you can go and find anywhere on the MLS in most markets across the country.
Was this his deal that?
No, it wasn't a deal. He just said that this is what he's coming across. that's what he was finding. It wasn't approaching the 1% rule. What do I do? And cool. I thought, all right, let's figure out what you would do.
Well, you're going to have to reply back to this person and say, hey, let's check out this podcast. We made it specifically for you. It actually was
2 years ago. So I don't know that if he's still in the business, but I have not figured out anything. Okay. I have not done any preparation at all. Zero on this deal. So we're going to start from scratch. What I'm doing is probably what you should be doing when you're analyzing a deal. I thought that would be another good component to the whole thing.
Okay. What I can do, Jeff, I can share my financial calculator if you just want to run us through the numbers, and we can pop that up on the screen.
We definitely will do that. Great. Okay. Let's do it. So the first thing, and let's take a couple of assumptions. Let's say that we've run some comps and our ARV is 200,000. And let's say that we went to Rentometer and ran our rental comps, and we came back with that this house would rent for $1,400 a month. So let's take those two as givens. Other than that, we'll play around with some of the numbers a little bit. All right, so the first thing that I want to do, Jonathan, is if you were to buy this property and just go to the bank and get a loan, how much money would you have to put down, and how much would you have to finance approximately?
You said it was, what was the purchase price?
200.
Okay. So, I would have to put down 20% or 25%. I mean, 20% is 40,000. And so I would have to come out of pocket $40,000, to buy this property using bank financing.
So let's use 20%. Okay. So let's figure out approximately, and I don't even know what non-owner occupied interest rates would be right this second, probably less than what we're going to figure out. But
I think somewhere around five.
And that's what I'm going to say.
5.25.
Let's say five. I personally think if interest rates are below four right now, you probably could find non-owner for, you know, 4.5, 4.75 if you searched.
Yeah, I had a quote. I was looking at a refinance on one of my rentals, and it was like 4.875 or.
So let's take 5%.
Like, yeah.
So let's use 160. That's the amount that we'd have to finance. 160,000.
Okay.
At 5% interest.
So that's principal.
So he's putting all this in the calculator. So he just did 160 present value, 5% interest.
5% interest.
And then we're amortizing it over 30 years, so 360 months.
360 in. Payment,
858.91.
Principal
and interest.
Yeah.
All right, so let's also take a few assumptions here. We know that we're going to have to pay taxes, insurance, and potentially some water, sewer, garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that taxes are, you know, $150, $160 a month. Okay. Insurance is going to be another, you know, 40. So we're at around 200 for taxes and insurance.
Okay.
So right there, we're into this for 1,048, and this will rent for 1,400.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that water, sewer, garbage is going to run us $85 a month.
Okay.
So that's 1,133. Yeah. What we're doing right now is we're kind of working backwards, right? We're not really working backwards in this example, but we're trying to figure out what are all our expenses are and what's going to be left over cash flow wise.
Correct.
Okay. So we're at 1133. No property management, no capital expense, this isn't going to be a commercial, you know, above four unit type thing. This is probably going to be, depending on what market you are in, a duplex to a fourplex. If it only rents for 1400, most likely it's more like a duplex. So What do we got left? Let's just round that up to 1150. What do we have left? Cash flow, net cash flow.
You said it was 1400.
Uh-huh. So we've got like 250 a month cash flow, right?
Yeah. Sorry, it was slow there coming in.
Is 1133? So that's that's with our water, sewer, garbage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have $250 a month cash flow. Let's times that by 12. That will be your cash flow for the year.
I'll just do this on my calculator. 250.
$3,000. Right? And yep. Now, what did you talk about, Jonathan? How much money were you going to have to put down?
$40,000.
Okay, now that doesn't include any closing costs. That doesn't include any deferred maintenance. Right now, we're going to assume that there is none.
Yeah.
Which is not likely, but...
Just to make it simple.
So right, let's divide that by 40,000. 3,000 divided by 40.
That's a 7% return on investment.
Okay,
so without any other costs involved.
Okay, so in this market, it's not super terrible, but it's not great, right? If you were just looking to find a rental, and this property was in decent shape in a decent area, you could get a 7.5% cash on cash return on your money, or thereabouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. As investors, as wholesalers, as whatever you are, we're looking for a little better deal than that. So why don't we start trying to figure out how we might be able to get a better deal? So first of all, just cash-wise, could we make a lower cash offer than $200,000?
Yeah.
Right? So let's see if this helps at all. What if we just offered 180? And you know, in some markets, that won't get it done. If someone's asking 200 and you're coming in 10% less, but what would be the payment if at 180, now you're putting down 36,000?
Let me just clear this.
180 minus 36 is 144,000. That's what our present value would be. We're still going to use 5%. We're going to amortize it over 30 years. $773, right?
Correct, yep.
So we saved ourselves about $75 a month, maybe $80 a month. So we had $250 cash flow before.
Right.
Now let's say everything else stays the same. Now we've got $330 a month times 12. Now that's almost $4,000. It's $3,960.
Correct.
Divided by what? The $36,000 instead of $40,000.
Yep, now 11% return. Yeah,
not bad, right?
Much better.
So could that be one of our offers right there? Is, hey, I'll pay you cash for this property, but I can't pay you the 200. I'll pay you more like 180 or 177 or 182 or something like that. But yep. Now we've already established, all right, we can come up with an offer here. Now, if we were going to wholesale that, to me, I still have to add in my fee. And we're going to be at less than probably 10%. That doesn't work.
Right.
My cash offer would have to be considerably less.
Yeah, more like 165 or something.
Yeah, it might have to be somewhere in that range. And that probably isn't going to work, but I might make that offer because I'm going to make offers that are going to be significantly higher with terms. All right, so let's figure out how we might structure something here. So we've got to make some assumptions, okay? Because there is a couple of crucial things that we need to know in this situation. What do you think is like the most crucial right now before we even put together an offer?
Knowing how much debt is owed on the property.
That is correct. Yep. Because isn't that going to make a huge difference one way or the other?
Yeah.
So I think what we'll do is we're going to start with there's no debt. And okay. We'll come up with, now, first of all, I could come up with probably a dozen offers if there's no debt. We're not going to do that. This series would go on for like 7-8 episodes, and I don't think it's necessary. But I want to look at maybe a few different scenarios, if this were free and clear, that will work better in terms of cash on cash return, still getting the seller close to, if not what they're asking, plus making them money on their equity and kind of creating a win-win, maybe even a win situation for all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk, Jonathan, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. this property is free and clear and you want it as a rental. Where would you go first? What would you do to start figuring out what I could offer?
So since we kind of already ran through some numbers, let's just say instead of putting $40,000 down, I just wanted to put half of that. So this is just to simplify it. So half of that, I wanted to put $20,000 down, and then say their sales price is $200,000, $20,000 down, that'll leave $180,000. And let's just say I wanted to pay him like $850 a month. That's kind of the first offer that comes to my mind if it's free and clear.
Okay. So tell me how that help me understand how this would be structured. So, where'd you get your $850 from?
Just kind of based on
what the numbers we ran before.
Yeah. Yeah. Just staying close to that.
So how are we going to get that? How are we going to get the offer to $850 is what my question is you're pulling this number out of the air.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I am.
How do we get it structured so that there's an $850 a month payment?
So we would
have a $200,000 purchase price, right?
Yeah, put 20 down, so that would leave us at 180. Let me just clear this out.
Okay.
So 180.
The reason that I'm asking this is that this is kind of what you go through when you're trying to create offers for owner financing, is that you got to play with some numbers to see if they'll fit, right? And so the thing that you've done, and we've taught this numerous times on a number of podcasts, that we want to work backwards, right? And figure out what all our expenses are going to be and create enough cash flow that it's going to make sense either for us or our end buyer. And that's kind of what you've done, even though we didn't have to because we already ran through that first scenario. So now we know, hey, the cash flow will be all right at $850 a month payment. Now we've got to play around with some numbers on how all these numbers can fit together.
Okay.
So what'd you do here? What did you just do? You did
okay, so I all I'm doing right here in my calculator is I'm just playing with the interest rate. So our present value after our $20,000 down would be $180,000, right?
Okay.
Plugged in $180,000 present value. I'm just assuming we're going to amortize it over 30 years. So I did a 360-month term. Yep. And then all I've been doing, as you were speaking there, Jeff, is just playing with the interest rate. So if we had 5% like we started at, that would be, so if we had a 5% interest rate on $180,000, our payment would be $966 a month.
Yep.
So all I was doing is just saying, okay, well, what if I just offered 3% interest, right? Yep. Plug in 3% and then hit payment again. That's $758. So if I'm trying to get closer to that $850, I can offer maybe a little more in interest than that, right? So I can go say 3.5% interest, just see where that gets us.
Okay.
Get payment again. That's 808. So we're getting close.
Yeah. Do like 4%.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. Now I'm just gonna try 4% interest. 4% interest. and then hit payment again, and that's $859.35. So that's real close right there.
Yep. So the excellent way of coming up with how this could potentially work.
Yeah. Again, but like you said, the most important thing here is if there's, this scenario is free and clear, but if there's an underlying mortgage, we have to be mindful that this number is not going to be below that.
Right. Right. And so we'll deal with that. But
yeah, but that's just a simple way. Like, so just running off the numbers that we talked about earlier, if my payment is around 850, our cash flow would still be around what, 250 is what we said for our cash flow.
It would be about, I think it'd be about 300. Is that all right?
Pretty close. Somewhere.
What did we have? 200 for taxes and insurance. It's 1,050. And I think we said like 80 for water, sewer, garbage. And I think we rounded up, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, you're right. 250. So $3,000 a year, right?
$3,000 a year.
We have to do all that calculation divided by 10,000.
Oh, 10?
Yeah, that, or 20, I'm sorry, 20,000.
So cash on cash return right there with that off, 15%.
All of a sudden a little better, right?
Yeah, a lot better. So all we're doing is saying, hey, we'll give you 20,000. We'll give you your purchase price of 200,000. We'll give you $20,000 down, and we'll give you close to 4% interest amortized over 30 years. And then you can choose to offer a balloon on that after 5, 10, whatever.
Well, that's the next question I have for you is, what kind of length of term would you be looking for on this type of deal?
That's a good question. So I would want to keep it. I would want them to finance it as long as I could. So if they're willing to do 30 years, I would do that. But if they're like, hey, that's way too long. You have to kind of fill out your seller on this, right, Jeff? Maybe they don't want to hold the note for that long, or maybe they're going to need that money sooner down the road. So it's kind of based on their needs. I mean, you can certainly make that offer of, hey, I'll pay you for 30 years if you want to go that long, or you can put, you know, a 3 to 5 year balloon. I don't think I'd want to do any shorter than 3 years for sure. And that's just because I would be looking to refinance it down the road or sell it.
Let's talk about that, because there is kind of an issue that I think we should all look at right here. And that is that if we think that this property is really worth 200 right now, and we're going to put down 10%, so $20,000, in 3 years or 5 years or 7 years or whatever the balloon payment's going to be, I would like my value, my underlying mortgage balance, to be at least 20% of the market value. That way, when I refinance, I don't have to bring any more money to the table.
Yeah. Okay. Very good point. I see where you're going with this, Jeff.
So why don't we play with some term stuff here and see where it takes us? So why don't we just enter in 36 for N right now? Don't clear anything.
Okay. 36. Whoa. 36 for N.
Uh-huh. And solve for future value.
Future value, 170.
So where do we need to be, first of all?
We need to be at 160.
160, right? Otherwise, yep. In 3 years, if this doesn't appreciate at all, we've got to bring another $10,000 to the table.
Yeah, very good.
Not what we want. So let's try 60 months.
Okay.
Put it in as N.
60 months in. Future value, 162. So okay. We're close there.
We're getting closer, right? Yeah. Most likely, you would see, you know, at least some appreciation over the next 5 years. So that would be probably super close to being where we need it to be.
Okay.
But let's do like 72, just to, you know, 6 year balloon.
72 for N, 6 year balloon.
There we go.
So that puts us right there. Yeah. Okay.
So we may want this term to be, you know, somewhere between 5 and 6 years.
Yeah.
And those are some of the things that I look at when I'm trying to create our offers, is that one, I probably wouldn't have offered 10% down. That's too much on my behalf. I might be willing to go up to 10%, but if I offer it, I think that's too high of a starting point for me.
Okay.
The 4%, this would be most likely an offer that I would make, but it wouldn't be like my number one option. It would probably be number two, and it would be one that I would try to extend the term to a 5, 6, 7 year term. And here, the reason why is right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because I wasn't even thinking about that. You know, as far as principal pay down, so that it would make it real easy to refinance without bringing any more money to the table aside from closing costs. So I brought that up because it's something I wasn't even thinking about when you said, well, how long would you want to go? I'm just like, oh, 3 to 5 years.
Well, but there's a reason why you want it to be longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Either that, or we've got to offer a little less, or we've got to offer a little lower interest, or we got to amortize it over, you know, 20 years or 25 years, because we need that principal pay down to get us to the point where we only have 10% locked up in this property.
Right, right.
Let's look at one other calculation here. Let's see what the seller is going to net for this property under this offer.
Okay.
So we're going to go 6 years, 4% interest, financing $180,000 with $20,000 down, an $859-ish payment, and a balloon payment of $158,935 in 6 years. So how do we figure this out, Jonathan?
So we just have to take what they're earning in interest over that amount of time and add that up, plus their down payment, right?
So what would you do?
Along with the purchase price.
So here's how simple this is, okay? Take your payment.
$859
times 72.
Times 72.
$61,848, right?
Correct, yep.
Plus our balloon payment,
$158,935.
Okay. Plus our down payment.
Plus 20. Cool. $240,783 over 6 years.
So we can show this seller that if they're willing to stay in this property and finance us for 6 years, they'll make an extra $40,783 for doing so.
Right.
Okay. All right. So let's look at another. What I want to do is do three examples on this, on the free and clear.
Okay.
And then we'll cut this episode off. We'll do a second episode where we'll look at, we'll probably do three other examples, but we'll use it with debt, varying debts. So see where that allows us to go.
Okay, cool. Well, let's wrap it up there, Jeff. Yep. This is about an hour long episode.
Sorry. So
we might cut this into two.
Yeah.
Just to make it more bite-sized chunks for people.
Yep.
You know, it's just easier to go over one offer at a time, I think. But anyway, to reach us, you can leave us a question or comment at our hotline number, 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP to that number to get special access to a video that Jeff created that really kind of runs through the same scenarios we're running through here. He just shows you step by step on how he creates offers on a single family home, and he takes it to the end on his exit strategy and wholesaling that property off. So again, text CFP or creative financing to 877-409-8090 to get special access to that. You can also find us on the web at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's where all of our episodes are. And then also there is a link for that video there as well. And then we're on YouTube, and I think that's the Creative Financing Show on YouTube. And then, of course, Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. So you can reach us in any of those places. Also, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, give us a call on our hotline and just mention that you're interested in that specifically. Any last words? Anything I didn't cover there, Jeff?
So two things, really, the creative finance or the apprentice program. We're doing some different things. Certainly inquire. Find out if at least would be a good fit for you. I think that you'll find it very interesting. And we're going to do a lot of stuff with commercial type properties in 2020. So I will give you education. You'll get in the mix. You'll be able to make some money while you're doing it. And so we're looking forward to that in 2020. And yeah, I'm super excited. We've got 50,000 downloads. We're right at the cusp. It is New Year's Eve 2019.
Yeah.
I'm expecting, you know, I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I want to do some cool things in 2020. I appreciate our listeners. Call in. Tell me that you love the show. Tell me you don't love the show. Tell me what you want to see on the show. We do this to help you. And let me know if what we're doing is working. And if not, then tell me what it is that you want to see or hear.
Yeah. We always need more feedback for sure. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.